Hey, what's going on? This is Bill Burr from the All Things Comedy Network. I'm very excited to tell you that we are going to be releasing a stand-up special from the unbelievably talented, unbelievably hilarious, and unbelievably original Ted Alexandro. He has a new stand-up special called Senior Class of Earth. You can check it out exclusively at atcspecials.com and follow the All Things Comedy Network for more ways to support your favorite comedians. This is huge for us. This is everything that All Things Comedy was about. We wanted to get in business with great artists and help them to maintain control and ownership of what they created. And this is our first foray into that. Once again, it's called Senior Class of Earth from the great Ted Alexandro. You can check it out at atcspecials.com.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Pep Talks, and we are on Facebook Live. There is the cameras, and with me, of course, my co-host Steve Lally, and today our marvelous, marvelous guest who created an amazing show, a storyteller show, that is an L.A. institution, and she's in an institution. She's out on a day pass. Please welcome Beth Lapidus.
Addy.
A 25th anniversary of Uncabaret, which launched, well, I mean, I heard about it so long ago, and can you tell me, what was the name of the place where it started?
Well, the name of the place it started was the Women's Building. Then we went to Highways, but most people know it from Luna Park.
That's the place.
It was sort of like it was conceived at the Women's Building. It gestated at Highways, and it was birthed at Luna Park, to use a female metaphor.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so we're going to celebrate Uncabaret. I've been on it a bunch.
Not enough for my taste. I do harass you. I
yes,
do harass you. Addy!
It's good to be harassed. Like, a lot of people don't like being harassed, but I'm like, oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
That's why he doesn't respond. He wants you to continue to harass him.
I know.
If he shows
you've
you.
You've been on, you're always so funny.
Really? Yeah, except how would you describe it? Is it a storyteller show? Because I don't really do stories.
I don't actually call it a storyteller show, no, but I don't mind, you know. It's not the worst.
Well, you're pretty easygoing.
It's not the worst inaccuracy. It is. I mean, it has a lot of story.
Sorry.
It has a lot of story in it, and I love story, and story is definitely a big part of it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have a story. And really, the idea is that you're in your now, and you're not doing the act, that you are safe, that that it's a great place for performers to take risks, that it was originally meant to help comedians break out of the tight 10. That in essence does bring up story and to talk about your now, and of course a lot of what has happened we've been most known for has been story, but it's not, you know, a rant about the day is also highly, and it does not a story telling show in that you don't get on stage and like tell a story, you know.
Yeah.
There are stories in it.
Okay. And you throw themes sometimes.
Sometimes,
too, right?
Less than we used to. You know, you run through those Hallmark holidays enough times and you're like,
right.
Yeah, Father's Day. I mean,
well. Or, yeah.
I mean, really?
You got to get Eddie on your Father's Day show.
Colonel
Kurtz.
I mean, I love my father. Are you listening, Dad? You didn't love me. You didn't love me. You didn't love me. All right. I don't want to whine like that. A lot of people are calling me out on, you know, it's not professional, I think, to whine about not being loved.
Well, it's sad. It may be professional.
Well, you know what's funny about it's sad is that I always think, and I may be wrong about this, I don't know what you think, but I think the really sad things have in them the funniest goddamn
things.
Well, the pain,
The pain, well, obviously. Mm. I mean, we're not inventing that idea, are we?
I thought I was.
Although I think, you know, in the realm of negative emotions, mm-hmm. anger, frustration, mm-hmm. Those are funnier than sadness. People, I think, are scared of sadness. I always think you're better off telling people you're shooting up than you're sad in Hollywood. People are really just afraid sadness. They think they're going to catch it.
Oh, shit. Well, you know, I talk about being sad on this podcast. Like, I don't want to, like say, oh, this is a comedy podcast. I don't do that. And people know it. And
despite that we are on All Things Comedy.
Yes.
No, this is not. That's a deceiving. That's a misconception. This is therapy for comedians is what this is.
Therapy comedy is what the ATC means. Therapy. But, you know, your sadness, you're so great with expressing anger. I mean, you found a great way in your comedy to make anger
absurd.
Yeah.
It's like over the top.
Yeah, the absurdity of anger, like the pointlessness of it. Like,
yes,
you
thank
get
you.
To that.
Thank
That's
you.
That's what I love about you.
Thank you. I really, that is one of the things I've come to, that my act is about the pointlessness about being enraged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think anything, if you raise it to the level of an art form, anytime anybody says, oh, this shouldn't be comedy or that shouldn't be humorous, it's just a matter of who's handling it.
That's
and
true.
How they can raise it to the level of an art form. I mean, we raise criticism.
What?
Comedians raise criticism to the level of an art form. If you're not funny, you're just a critic.
Right.
You're just a social critic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're funny, you're George Carlin.
Or in therapy. You know? I mean, so, there is that. I mean, when we started, people were like, it's like therapy. And I was like, well, how is that bad?
Yeah.
How is that bad? You're self-indulgent. Well, it's better than being self-nothinged.
I agree.
You know, more self than less self. I mean, all that, you know, how is that all?
Hey, have you noticed, just to
jump around,
have you noticed since Trump became president, the change in anything of your show?
Just that reaction is...
You know,
chaos, like
I find that people are really, at UNCAB at least, referencing and there's anger. I mean, certainly one of the topics is in the now. Stories about going to the marches, stories about, you know, political action, that those stories have become integrated. And certainly not a night goes by where there's not a reference. And we have certain comedians, I think Julie Goldman's anger, I think of, she's on a version of, I mean, you guys are aligned, certainly. And, but, you know, it's not a place where people come and like run down, you know, really... it's not that place.
Right.
But it's in your emotional matrix and you have stories about it. It's out there. There's always a reference. It's always there. People are trying to make stories and funny anyway. And I think there's that feeling. We're going to be funny anyway.
I love watching people tell a really good story.
It's the greatest.
Are you a good storyteller? I am not. I don't know why.
If as a Christian, say, if the Spirit moves me, I'm really good.
You got to love the Christians. I mean, yes.
That's their saying.
The Crusades were a horror story.
You know, someone should really encapsulate that
them.
Whole thing.
The Spirit
it
moved
certainly
them.
Did.
Look,
really.
They've had their missteps with the Inquisition, the Crusades.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody.
For hundreds of years.
And the molestation that has swept the country. But other than
that. You know what? A step in the right direction from crucifixion and burning people at the stake.
Wow,
you know,
that's
it's
a
like
super
moving.
Positive point.
You know what?
He is far more positive than me.
That is a super positive point.
He is far more
that
positive.
That is crazy.
I think it just occurred to me spontaneously.
You know what a lot of people in L.A. don't want to hear, too? As they don't want to hear you being sad, and they also don't want to hear about God. Am I right?
I find that tricky. I find that tricky because, you know, you always, especially in like a hip, but I mean, what's more underground than your own personal Jesus? I mean,
See, this is why she's good. This is why Beth is good. And this is why the show is really interesting.
UnCabaret, right?
Yes.
You said?
Thank you.
25th anniversary.
It's new to me. I've heard the name of the show.
Okay.
But this is the first time I have heard that, though. I've heard that. So, like, I've heard The Moth and on Cabaret. And
well, we started before The Moth. People say, is it like The Moth? I was like, it is like The Moth. But really, The Moth is more like us. I love The Moth, and so I love being associated. But we were there well before.
How long have you been going?
Well,
25 years.
More, really. Wow. I just couldn't bear to say the real number. And 20, 25 is a good amount to celebrate, but...
Oh, please give us the real number.
I really
number.
Don't even know the real number because it was born at the Women's Building.
What is the Women's Building? Well, it just sounds kind of hot.
Yeah, or very hot and radical.
Only to you.
That was a joke. Everybody, that was a consensual joke. That I just,
in a way, Eddie, aren't all buildings women? Do you know Judy Chicago? Is that too effete a reference?
Judy Chicago, what about her?
This was where she did the dinner party originally. It's like that kind of thing. So before I was a comedian, I was a performance artist, one person
That's
shows.
Right.
And I was doing, and I was transitioning. I was in a very long crossfade. So I was doing this one show that I was revamping, bringing to London. Anyway, I did it at this place and they were laughing. You've maybe been in these situations. You know it's funny, but they think it's a little funnier than it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
I like
and then
place.
It's fun to play.
Right.
But it's you always, at the end of the show, I really, because it was a scripted show, and I was like, when was the last time you laughed? I mean, really. And they said, oh, we don't laugh. We're women, and we're artists, and we're lesbians. And if we go to comedy clubs, they make fun of us. And
oh,
I said, I will make you
true,
a show.
Those
it will yeah. be unhomophobic, unxenophobic, mm-hmm. unmisogynist. It will be the uncabaret.
Oh,
and it
that's
was a
where
little,
it came
a download.
From.
I had never thought of it. It didn't occur to me until in the moment. So I really did feel it was an assignment from, dare I say,
God.
The spirit.
We talk about
me.
God. Me and Steve mm-hmm. talk about
right.
God.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you can call it so many great
right,
things that we
right.
don't have to say God, the big thing, you know. Or you know.
Believe in something other than the corporeal.
Yeah, I
existence.
Believe there is something bigger than me that connects us and has a greater intelligence, not necessarily mental.
Right. I agree with that, but I don't agree that there's something bigger than me. Like, I think there's something bigger than you, but I don't think there's something.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that
you
out
hear
there?
That? That's right. I said it because I believe it.
Well, that is a very comforting belief. Actually, it's a very discomforting thought. That's
yes,
a lot
it is.
Of responsibility.
It is.
If you're the biggest thing.
I think that's a little of Trump kind of a thing.
I'm sure that is.
That's
a
very
is a
Vogue
Trump kind of thing.
Vogue Trump kind
yeah.
of thing.
Oh,
to,
that
to
is
be,
a Trump
yeah,
type of thing.
You might be absorbing some, maybe this is just a couple
maybe
of years
maybe we're all
now.
Becoming Trump.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. We're all
I had a dream
it.
About Trump.
Oh,
what?
Tell
you know that
dream. That? Tell
a real dream. I think people thought I was kidding on social media.
What was it?
I was in a fight, a fist fight
with him?
Donald Trump, and I beat the hell out of him.
Oh, that's
and then
fabulous.
He couldn't admit he lost. He couldn't admit he lost, and I told him we'll do it again if that's... we need to in front of other people. To
That was a very literal dream.
I know.
He can't admit
well,
he lost.
Well, I don't know. I don't know because they say I'm a bit of a therapy hound, not to brag. But therapy hound, I like that. I like that.
Maybe
term.
That's your other niche podcast, therapy
that's
hound.
His, that's his next album.
Where are my dogs at, by the way? therapy hound. But they say everybody in your dream is another part of you. So maybe. There is maybe you were fighting the part of yourself that is narcissistic,
right?
You know,
can't take a responsibility,
has no idea about geography and economics right. and history,
failed businesses, the trust fund that I never got.
You think is that possible, or do you think it's literal, like Beth said?
I don't see because I don't like
because you're like me, we know that Trump. Is just a symptom of the decay.
Right.
He is not the decay, but he is what has happened from years and years
right.
of shit.
40 years since Reagan.
So we know that, so that's why I'm wondering, have you gotten angrier at him?
No, it's weird.
I mean,
I don't hate, like I don't harbor this hate that other people have because I can't carry it. I can't carry the hate.
That's the hard part.
I can't
I'm
carry
not
it,
good
so
with hate
I don't,
either. Though.
I don't carry
well,
it.
Well, I'm good with hate.
Yeah.
Well, some people have to do it for the rest
he
of the
He reads Chris Hedges, so he's really like, he's carrying around some bricks. But I can't, so I don't carry this hate for Trump. I kind of understand, although it's disgusting and terrifying. So maybe the dream might have been me reconciling that I really do hate him. And
well,
really
I
like
can
to,
hate him, but it just moves through me. Like if I'm confronted, I try to stay away from, try to understand what's happening, but not I try to actually stay away from his image and his picture and his and him.
Right.
I try to stay away from
You don't throw on the TV, the news. I don't put on the news.
Not a lot.
I do once in a while. Like today, there was a hurricane. I hope everybody's safe in Florida.
Of course, I shout out to all the Florida relatives who I emailed in their
life. Oh, you have Florida relatives?
It's all... What? How's that possible?
You do too. He's from Florida.
Well,
two Jews walked into a podcast.
Oh, God. And they were like, when are we moving to Florida?
Boca, the mouth of the rat.
My family didn't make it that far to Boca. The covered wagon broke down in like
Boca.
Somewhere between Deliverance and like the Florida Project,
Okay.
You know, so we didn't have the money to make it to South Florida. South Florida's, you guys are the hip.
I have relatives.
Oh, your relatives right there? Where?
No, they all said they're fine. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where they are, honestly.
They're nowhere near. That's the.
They're on email. They're.
I know. I asked.
You know where they are. They're right in my email. It's so convenient.
That's so funny because I asked people, where are they from? I asked people, where are you from? And that's kind of a maverick thing to do if you're a comedian.
If
you're just starting out, I always ask people, where are you from?
You know, where did you say you were from? Like when you were first starting comedy.
Did you know him, by the way?
No, we only have met a few years ago.
Eddie's comedy story is like The Natural, like Robert Redford in The Natural. Nobody knows. Everybody's trying to find out when it began. And, there's papers are like sending out fucking newsletters and surveys.
I am an anomaly. I don't do what they do. I don't do what other comedians do. I don't make people laugh. Anyway,
that is just 100% not true, dear listeners.
Not according to our ratings.
Well, that's because I dare to go to the sad places, and you fucks, not you people listening.
But the others.
But the people
the
who
others
aren't.
Who won't.
Those of you who won't listen.
You fucks who are not hearing this are the pieces of
you others.
But I was.
I love when a comedian gets mad at the people who aren't there.
Yes.
That's like comedy's not going to heal whatever's going on with that.
Why aren't more people here? You know who was? You know, can I tell you a little piece of my cabaret trivia? Mm-hmm. Judy Toll, bless her soul.
Judy Toll.
Do you remember her?
That name is familiar.
There's a documentary about her called The Funniest Woman You Never Heard Of. She died a little too early, and she was a writer on Sex and the City. She was a groundling. She was amazing. She was truly a genius. She was very intimate. Everyone was her best friend. When she died, 800 people in the Writers
Judy
Guild
Toll.
Theater.
T-O-L-L.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She used to come in, and she'd look around, and she'd go, how are the reservations? And I'd say, we're a little light. And she'd go, oh, good. It's going to be a great show.
She liked that.
She loved it. And she loved
it. She felt no pressure.
And just it's like a little phone call with people. Mm-hmm. And that's the intimacy. And that's the thing that I think, you know, one thing I love about comedy is that just heart-to-heart thing. And you lose it in stadium. I mean, when people shoot their specials, it was a special, and it's 100,000 people. I mean, I'm not there. I'm not there with that. I get it. I mean, I'm not against it, but I'm not there.
Yeah. I would not know about that.
No,
like huge crowds. I mean, I did mine in Brooklyn, the Netflix one I did.
How many did that hold?
I think it was something. It was at the Bell House, and it's a great place. I think it was 300, maybe.
Yeah,
that's plenty for me.
That's plenty. It's a nice number.
At a stadium, I would just be like, I feel like the luckiest comedian alive.
Welcome, Benito Mussolini.
That's Lou Gehrig.
But it also depends on the room. I mean, we're doing the Uncabaret 25th anniversary show at Theater at the Ace, downtown Los Angeles. And it's a 1,600-seat room. But it's an intimate, you know, you get on that stage and it does feel intimate. And you can be in other rooms that are 600. And
no, theaters are like that. Theaters are like that.
It's just really, I mean.
The seats are right. You know, nobody's at a table. Everybody's.
Right.
Are the ceilings low? That's a big part of it.
For not low, but you know.
I mean, I love high ceilings. Don't get me wrong. And my House Hunter episode where me and my wife are going to look at very small one bedrooms is coming up.
I don't like it in a home. I'm very short. I like a little room.
Can't believe you guys are having this fucking conversation.
Oh, you don't.
Oh, no. But listen, I write about this in the LA Weekly, which is coming out on Monday.
When is the show, the 25th?
November 18th.
November 18th.
But I talk about how the room of Luna Park was really helpful in terms of developing this comedy. And David Byrne talks about this, about CBGBs too, how it really shaped that music. Because the room at Luna Park, first of all, you would walk through the restaurant, which was all buzzing and fun and a happening place, open a door, and then you enter a stairwell that's its own space. You walk downstairs, you would turn, and you'd face yourself in this enormous mirror with a big chandelier over you. It was very elegant. And then you turn away from ego, and you walk down another flight of stairs. So you're really entering a subconscious area. And then you walked into another room with very low ceilings. And
that was the room?
And that was the room.
How many did it seat?
It was small. It was like 120. You know, well, I don't remember, but it was in that, like, in that sweet spot of, like, 80 to 120 packed on the stairs and running out the door. And there were nights when the stairs were filled and, you know, fire marshals, blah, blah, blah. But also you could have 40 people there, or Judy would be happy if you had 30 people there. You know, that's the thing about a weekly show. You have to be able to be in a space that is.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a difficult thing to run a weekly fucking show.
I know, it really is.
I mean, in L.A., where, you know.
I know.
I tried it
for
a little bit, and I was like, fuck this.
I can't even picture you doing that. You're the guy who shows up and closes it out.
That's right.
And me, that's how I know, because I hate running shows. I hate hosting. I hate being the first guy going, hey, everybody. I
know. Whenever I get to be on another show, when I have time, I'm like, it's just so easy. You don't have to open. It's so great. Oh my God.
Why did my producer say no show today 2 minutes ago? Is this going out on Facebook Live, Emma?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We have been going out.
We are currently doing a show.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just talk amongst ourselves.
That's our producer, Matt Rasamoto. Uh-huh. We'll give him a shout out right now.
Hey, Matt.
One of the great moments of confusion that we often have on pep talks between the Eddie or myself or Matt.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Then, I don't understand this, Matt.
I think the secret is not to dwell on it and just keep going.
Well, let's do one of our ads. This is a perfect time.
Wow, you must be a professional. That was so seamless.
I think one of his underrated qualities is finding time for the ad and choosing the right time.
I'm all about professionalism and despair.
Is NASA one of your sponsors? Because you're wearing a NASA hat.
Well, we should really be getting some money from them for that. And England, that's, you know, the country, really.
I'm a billboard
you're a tourist
today.
What the fuck? Never. Beth, it must be you. You must have bring this out of him. He never does this.
I love the NASA logo. I was talking to a homeless guy in a park, and he goes, NASA. He saw me with the NASA, and he goes, never. What did he say? He goes, never a straight answer. And he was like one of these guys, like, moon landing, bunch of bullshit. And I was like, sorry, sir, but I have an appointment with Planet Earth.
From Annie Hall.
From Annie Hall. All right, let's get to the first one. Here we go. This is Baby Bean Diapers. I think it's the first time we've had Baby Bean Diapers on the show. And thank you so much, the good folks at Baby Bean Diapers. Here we go. Since being casually mentioned in GOOP, Baby Bean Diapers have taken the young mommy world by storm. Baby Bean is one of the first scented diapers inspired by high-end boutiques. Saturate your child's horrific tar splatters with smells everyone can enjoy, like bergamot and thyme, chakra sandalwood and sage, grandfather's wet dentures, peppermint hemorrhoid, homeless burrito, baby bean diapers may have started as a haunted candle factory where Kmart stored defective diapers. But thanks to a spelling error on GOOP.com, business has taken off like wildfire. Also, we should mention that because of the amount of scented oils used, these diapers are highly flammable. Also, baby bean diapers cannot be disposed of into landfills and must be taken to a chemical disposable site. So please remember that, folks. A lot of people just will put baby bean diapers into the garbage. You have to take them to a chemical disposal site, and you could Google where to go near you.
Don't throw them in the green landscaping bin.
Absolutely not. Also, gloves should be worn at all times while handling baby bean diapers. Let's face it, it doesn't matter if these diapers give everyone eye cancer, because white women will buy anything they read in GOOP. Baby bean diapers. One more goddamn thing to buy.
Thanks, baby bean. And you know the greatest...
They're a great company.
The greatest thing about that ad was on the monitor as you were reading it. Beth was down here with her phone, and you couldn't see it was her phone. She looked like she was taking notes, and, and it just really made you look much more important, Eddie. It made you look much more
That's cool.
like you had something really
Do
to
you
say.
Know what
I was trying to see it where I could find the Facebook Live to share it with my people.
It's on his fan page.
Oh, the fan page.
Oh, Eddie Pepitone fan page.
Oh, got it.
There's a lot of people on that fan page, and they deserve more than they get. That's for sure.
But they're not getting it today.
So anyway, of course, all these commercials are written by Matt Rasamoto, but these sponsors are real. So please seek out these. But remember to put them chemical waste factories, right? Would you know what GOOP stands for?
Goop.
Yeah.
Goop.
It says women, white women will buy anything they read in Goop.
It's a magazine, Goop.
It is for real?
No.
Yes.
Is it?
Oh, my God. Where have you guys
been?
She's
totally fucking with
Tell
you.
Tell me. No, she's not. Matt,
it's,
no.
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's thing.
Oh, that explains
it. There you
it.
Go.
G.P. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
What is it? Gwyneth Paltrow talks about what?
It's everything. It's, you know, her lifestyle magazine. People make fun of is she had her vagina steamed, and that became popular.
What happened?
There was a cleaning of the vagina with some steaming, and that the people have talked about that a lot. But, you know, it's lifestyle stuff, you know, in the new age area. Some of it, I'm sure, highly legitimate and amazing and cutting edge, and some of it ridiculous. And, you know, it's in that area, though, of self-care that is psychology and is herbs and is...
You like
I'm
her?
So
Do you like
gullible.
Her?
I was like, "This. Oh, wow, that's a good idea."
We respect you. I don't know you.
You're
going to
read the next
you,
one.
So.
You're going to read the next one, which we'll do in a little
okay,
bit.
Okay. Yep.
Give it to me if it goes
I love it.
Blank.
I love it.
All right. So let's get back to our convo. Okay. So 25th. Is that yours? Yeah. Pick.
Sorry. No.
She's important. People are calling her while she's on the air.
Lapidus, this is your agent. Get the fuck off that podcast. You can't do this. It's going to damage your career.
I tried to repost it, but...
It didn't happen?
Didn't happen. So I'll do it in the next commercial. They'll get the last bit.
Oh, you'll love this one.
I can't wait.
Now, I remember that someone was telling me that that was kind of a launching pad, and I use
I love
launch,
that phrase.
Well, I have a NASA.
Now,
I'm
yes.
not big
Let's
into
keep it in the theme. It's a theme.
I'm big into. By the way, my therapist today, and not to brag that I have that kind of awareness that I go to a therapist to try to explore.
You are a therapy hound. After
I'm
all.
A therapy. I forgot about that. But he said that on Sunday, Elon Musk and SpaceX launched a rocket from Vandenberg Air Force Base that was visible all over L.A., and it was amazing, he said.
I saw it on everybody's feed.
Social media,
I saw it on everybody's feed. What kind of age are we living in? Beth Lapidus thinks reality is feeds. Everybody's feeds.
I didn't see it.
Where were you?
I tricked you. I was in the car driving.
Oh, you were going to your show.
Actually, we're on hiatus now.
Oh, you on hiatus?
From the weekly show for the big show,
For the big show,
And because our venue closed.
Your venue closed?
The venue, the little venue closed. Well, they stayed open.
What happened? The vegan restaurant?
Yeah, they're still the there. But they lost their cabaret and their liquor license. But let's talk about
something else. Audie,
do you have the papers for the police are here? Do you have?
God did
this
for me.
This is the vegan, the guy who owns the vegan restaurant. Arnie, get the fucking papers. No, not for the cashew cheese. For the fucking cabaret license.
I love that room. Oh,
yeah,
well.
What was the room?
We were there
the
for 7 years.
Seven years?
We were there for seven years.
Can you plug this room, even though you're not
no.
there?
No, because it's done?
They're there serving food. Oloc, it's a great vegan restaurant.
Oloc.
There we go.
Have you ever been Hope Street?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. First and Hope.
Right across from Disney the Disney concert. Yeah.
Downtown, it'll go downtown too often.
It's right on the cusp.
Neither do I anymore.
No, now that they're closed. So, launching pad.
Now that there's white people.
Should we go to the launching pad?
I heard like David Cross, yes, Bob Odenkirk, yes. Sarah Silverman.
A little bit. She was
Cross,
there a little
Odenkirk.
Bit. A lot. Kathy Griffin started there, really had never done stand-up until
so you
that.
Really, and these guys got confidence.
Well, Bob, you know, everybody was at a different point. Bob had already done Saturday Night Live, so I don't want to pretend that I launched. But he didn't, but you know, he left Saturday Night Live as a writer and then came.
Oh, he was
and,
a
know,
writer on Saturday Night Live.
Janine Garofalo, Taylor Negron.
Taylor Negron.
Hey, rest in peace.
And Taylor and Judy and I, we were the highways run, the three of us. So it was,
you were what?
That's what the highway show before Luna Park was Taylor, Judy, and I. Who else? So many.
Taylor was a great storyteller.
Laura Keitlinger was from
too.
The beginning. Marilyn Ricecup, Karen Kilgariff, Patton Oswalt.
Wow.
A lot of Patton. Rick Overton.
Overton, too? Now, I missed all this because I didn't get to L.A. in time. When
where
I got
were you?
To L.A., I was in New York.
Oh.
A real city. Where are you from?
New Haven, Providence, New Haven.
East Coast.
And then New York. I was in New York.
And when did you move to L.A.?
1903.
And state your name for the Senate hearing committee. Ms. Klepidus.
I have no sense of linear time. It is such a struggle for me. Every note I ever get about writing
you
structure it a little bit? When I write comedy, I inevitably write the punchline and then the setup and have to reverse it. I mean, I'm just
dyslexic. You're a comic dyslexic.
I'm a comic dyslexic.
You're not alone, I don't think.
No, I'm not. I'm not alone. I don't feel alone.
Good.
So I moved here in like the late 80s.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Eddie, when did you start doing her shows? When did you meet that scene? Were you?
Yeah.
You were in only a couple years ago.
No. Was it just a couple?
5 years?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
at
something
least
like
five.
Five. I mean, so, we were in at Oloc for... You never did another room besides Oloc, did you?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so. And we were there for 7 years. So within the last
Weren't
seven,
you at M-Bar for a bit?
Yes, we were at M-Bar for... I don't know how many years we were there. I know we were at Luna Park for seven. If you want to hear the rundown.
Yeah,
Women's
let's hear
Building
it.
Highway, the Luna Park, 7 years at Luna Park. HBO Workspace.
Oh, HBO.
For a year.
I did some stuff there.
We were there during 9/11. That was notable because people kept saying it's too soon for comedy, and we did a show the next week. And because it's never too soon for your truth. It's never too soon to tell the story. You're not making fun of it. You're not talking about other people. You're saying, this is what happened to me.
Right.
And it wasn't the funniest show we ever did. Everybody was sad and freaked out, but it was real, and it was funny, and it was funny people being real. You know, so that's always been our thing. Then we tried the Knitting Factory. It was here for
those
were
all hip,
bit.
Pretty hip joints. I mean, those are places I couldn't get on at when I moved to L.A.
The Knitting Factory, is that gone?
It's gone, yeah. And it was cavernous. It was weird.
It was.
It was kind of a weird space. But it's interesting. It was very theatrical. We did big shows there. Then we were at M-Bar.
Wow, you've been all over.
And we were at M-Bar for, I don't know, maybe 5 years, 6 years.
And now what are you thinking? Because Oloc...
is closed.
Lost its cabaret.
Yep. Yep.
Are you thinking of going somewhere else? Are you thinking
I am
maybe,
thinking about going somewhere else.
Oh, you
else.
Are? Mm-hmm. Where are you thinking?
I can't say.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm not sure God is really thinking about it. I'm waiting to be directed. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure. I've talked to a few places and there's some interest and, you know, it seems precipitous to announce any of it.
Right,
but you're on hiatus, so you don't have to be in a hurry. You can... Mm-hmm. Wait till the right.
I mean, it was really great, actually, the timing, because it's an enormous venture to do this anniversary show.
So
have been doing a weekly show at the same time would have been completely inappropriate, but I would have tried to do it. Thank you, God.
Baruch Hashem.
What can we expect on the anniversary show? Can you talk about
the unexpected?
You can expect the unexpected. I am your host, Criswell, the sad hypnotist. And I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid. A lot of people say don't put sadness in hypnosis, but Criswell is not afraid to go to sadness. Imagine a sad hypnotist.
Oh my God. He hypnotizes you to get you sad. Wait, you're afraid of your emotions. And so what I'm going to do is hypnotize you to be able to feel sad all the time.
Some sadistic hypnotists in comedy clubs do that.
What?
They will bring a person up on stage and they...
I hate comedy. This is why I'm not in comedy clubs. I hate it.
I love comedy.
I mean, I love comedy.
You're sending me mixed signals like my parents did.
But it makes me crazy that exists.
But it must have been insane. So late 80s, you were in here?
Yeah.
So it must have been insanely difficult as a female comic to get on anywhere.
It was so hard. And people were like...
Was it or not?
It was hard. I did some, women's nights. And also, I was weird. I mean,
right.
I was...
Right. You were a performance artist.
I was offbeat and odd. I mean, I'm odd now, but I was way odder then.
The Beth Lapidus story.
And I was, I got spots. I definitely did get spots. But one of the things that really, I just had in my mind, there has to be a better way. Mm-hmm. I was working places. I was working at clubs. I was working at places I don't remember that people tell me I worked at. I remember there was one night at the Comedy Store. I was following Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh my God. I was standing there.
And I didn't have all these years of experience. I was a young comedian.
Oh, shit.
And
I'm only 59 and I don't know what I'm doing.
Eventually we'll figure it out. Yeah. And then expecting the unexpected.
The unexpected.
So I'm watching him. I'm hating him. I'm hating the audience for laughing at him. Then I'm hating myself for hating them because, as you said at the beginning, I don't do well with hate.
Right.
And so, I just think there has to be a better way. And then I'm sure, how could it go well after that? So anyway, I did get spots.
Backstage at a big comedy club is the worst place to be when you're about to go
on. Yeah.
At least I still feel. I'm doing the main room tonight at the Comedy Store, and I haven't done the main room that much.
That's right. You haven't been asked to do the main
room. They haven't asked me to do the main, and it's such a big room.
Are you nervous?
I'm a little, but not a lot, It's always interesting, though. It's always interesting, because, Dice Clay was very big back then, and to follow someone huge is...
You remember the story you told me about Bert?
So I was... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I have nothing.
You were bringing Dice on stage. One of the first times we were hanging out,
right.
You were telling me about bringing Dice on stage.
That's right.
And how he came up and he's like... Hey, what? He's
I was
going
unbelievable.
Into the crowd.
Dice
and he goes,
occasionally pops into, and I call him Dice because he looks like a six and a five. Anyway, he occasionally drops into the Comedy Store, and I had to intro him in it. I just introed him, and he came on, and I couldn't believe he was doing the same things.
Well, he was.
Now he's in, Lady Sings the Blues. Star Is Born. So he's getting.
He's gotten. I think Woody Allen movie gave him credibility as an actor.
So now I feel that since I followed him, I will now also be offered these parts.
It's like Chinatown.
It's not
what
a bad
what
actor.
John?
No, he was
what's
actually
his name?
Pretty good.
He said in Chinatown, he goes, whores and old buildings and politicians all become respectable if they last long enough. And kind of in our profession, like even a comic. I don't really hate Dice because that was my adolescence.
I don't hate him, but it was hard to stand there and watch as a woman.
And you've got to go follow
it,
though.
I feel like you have to say, as a woman, that's a horrible thing.
But you've got to follow this. You've got to be the next entertainer.
Yeah, so that's an awful situation. So you said, was it hard as a woman, to get spots and do comedy? And yes. And because, I remember also I auditioned at the Improv and I opened with an abortion joke. And that's not a great way to say hello. I get that now. But still,
I had to follow Chocolate Sunday at Chocolate Sunday at the Laugh Factory.
How'd you, how was that going?
I had to follow they had graduated me onto the, this is, you know, whatever, 12, 18 years ago, whatever. And I had to follow a comic who went on, female comic, who went on and did a bit of, she got a standing ovation about smelling her pussy at the club.
Ooh.
And I had to follow that, and I hated it. And I went on and I, but different than you, I went on thinking I was going to make fun of her.
Oh.
And they booed me the fuck off.
Oh. Right.
And so we've all had those where we think, you know, I'm like,
well,
I'm better than this. I'm going
to. How your pussy smells is a very highbrow way to attack comedy. God, I still hate that shit too, like following someone who talks
blue,
about
blue, blue, blue.
But if it
well,
gets.
Well, blue, blue, when it's, when it, well, it can be, if it's blue and smart, like Pryor could do it. Blue and smart is possible, but like when it's just fucking blue and the whole audience is loving it, I'm like, then I start to get into hate.
Yeah.
I start to get into, well, I hate the person who did that comedy, and then I really hate the audience.
That's what I'm saying.
I hated
that cycle.
What was what was happening was I hated myself. I could never admit this. I hated myself because I wasn't good enough of a comic
right.
yet to follow her. To follow her and make the crowd laugh and maybe make fun of her too and all the things I could do now.
You know, the brilliant thing, you know what I love to see?
I didn't have the tools yet.
I love to see a comedian, whatever, whether it's someone you love or don't love who's in a thing, then another comedian comes on. I love to be this person and I love to see this person. And it's just so in their own thing that it's miraculous because it's like watching a rainbow. Because you see blue and then there's purple and then there's red. It's they're just next to each other. And it's not, you don't have to respond to it. You just be yourself right next to the other thing. And that, I mean, you have to know you're following something, but I mean.
The crowd being good enough also to allow that to happen. Because a lot of times the crowd isn't, you know, like you said, that's a very veteran thing, by the way, to recognize the crowd is giving you more love than you deserve. That's a very veteran.
Than you deserve? Been,
well, or that the crowd is being more generous than you expect, you know?
Right.
And that's a very kind of, when you're a young comic, you're just like, I'm great. But as you've been doing it a while, you start to go, oh, no, they're great. That audience
it's
is great.
Great
they're
crowd.
Giving me, you know, Eddie maybe, because he's so good, he might not, because you've lifted up, you're like fucking the Incredible Hulk. I've seen you lift unliftable. I'm not kidding at the Comedy
Store. It's turning into a Whitney Houston song any second.
Yeah, it kind of is. Sorry. Sorry for the overflow.
But he is that
one. He is, though.
He is that. Mm. You are that.
He went on at the Comedy Store.
I still have so many insecurities about it all.
He went at the Comedy Store and he did 5 minutes on the crowd and why they're not laughing. And it was like Rain Man. First he goes, well, it's a Wednesday, maybe. You know how he does it. I can't do it. But maybe it's a Wednesday or people would rather be getting high. I don't know what he did, but somehow he got them. And they were a terrible room. And by the end,
right.
by the end
room.
They were, you know, remember you said, Steve, I'm glad you're in the audience laughing because you were the only one for a while in the back, you know.
Yeah. Well, comedy, I mean, stand-up. And I don't blame you for hating it because...
I know, I do love...
Well,
I love it. Obviously, I've devoted my whole life to it.
Right. But like you said, you're kind of like me. Like, you come from a different angle with it. It's not like setup punch. I don't do setup punch. And people sometimes...
I mean, I've written it, but it's just not to me the most engaging to watch.
The what?
To watch.
Yeah.
I don't love it the most.
Right, right.
And so I'd rather watch something I love the most.
Absolutely.
I love seeing something that is just for today. It's a spiritual thing. I love seeing something that is being formed. Now, look, people have come in and done great stories, and I know it's stories they've told before, but they're working on them. But they're in it. They're in the working of it. They're not just telling something.
Right.
I mean, when Julia Sweeney was going through her whole thing that became God Said Ha, you know, she was telling it that day. This is what happened this week. And sometimes she would refresh, like, okay, this happened before, and she had told that part, and it's not like she would never repeat herself. But it's an ongoing story. And to hear these stories told and to be able to get on stage and tell in your truth of the day, that audience, that Wednesday, that wasn't something you were like, oh, I'll do my bit about audiences not laughing.
Yeah.
You're just in the moment. I've seen you enough
that
you're just...
This is a good time for another ad.
Okay.
Our second ad.
Let's see if I can get Facebook Live.
Do you need help?
I do. Well,
yeah, give it to me.
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This has to. Folks, we're just going to. We have a lot of great sponsors.
There's a.
And
a code.
This is a great one.
Oh, my gosh. Chan Sport Backpacks.
And these are all written by our producer, Matt Rossamuto.
You know they're.
Matt Rossamuto.
Rossamuto. You know it's great when Beth goes back to the phone. You know, Jan Sport.
Well, this Jan is Sport. Her time off.
Yeah, what do you need me for?
She's a
taking
pro.
Taking care of business.
She's a pro.
Taking care of business.
Jan Sport backpacks are as American as apple pie scented shotgun. And just in time for Halloween, we're rolling out all of our MAGA version 2 backpacks for children of all ages, regardless of how you're presumed to rule as a Supreme Court justice. Their depleted uranium-lined backpacks are both stylish and comfortable. Each of the new MAGA 2 backpacks is roomy enough for one adult male and a pony keg of Rolling Rock beer, the Heineken of Pennsylvania. Order now, and we will include mini posters of a bikini-clad Sarah Palin shooting an AR-15 into a Whole Foods. Just a little something to look at while you're drinking skunk water and hiding from protesters. JanSport supports all judges everywhere, regardless of lies, alcohol intake, womanizing cover-ups, or complete incompetence, as long as those judges remain. Remember the label of the backpack they are hiding in, JanSport. If you're going to burn the world, someone has to make the matches.
Ah, they're such a good, and thank you, JanSport.
Wow. Thanks, JanSport.
That's really inspiring because of the time we live in. So what can we expect?
Oh, right.
Well, do you want to talk about any of the acts that may be going on?
Sure, yeah. I'll be happy to run.
Promo it a little bit?
Yes. There will be some special surprise guests who I can't name, but we also will have Maria Bamford, Bob Odenkirk, Janine Garofalo.
Wow, if you can name them. And can't name us. I mean, those are top of the line people. Mm-hmm. And if you can name them, I can only think it's going to be someone like Obama. Well, I mean, I can make my guesses, but go ahead.
Andy Kindler, Scott Thompson, Allie Willis, Laura Keitlinger.
Wow, what a show.
Jill Soloway.
The creator of Transcendent. Mm-hmm.
Transcendental? Transparent?
Transparent. Sorry. Sorry, Soloway. Hey, look, Soloway, you have enough money to not give a shit.
That's true.
Transcendental. He's a transcendental.
Oh, my God. Julie Goldman.
Goldman.
Julie Goldman will be there. Byron Bowers. We're going to do a reprise of the Change song, you know, the song Change that we open the show with every
Change.
No, you know, the song Change makes you so unhappy, but you have to change to be happy.
That's such
that's
a good
our
song.
Yeah, I wrote that. Mitch and I wrote
that's
that.
Really nice.
Thank you. We're going to do a grand finale reprise of that at the end, and maybe you'll come join us for that.
Would maybe.
You be there? Yeah.
We'll so see. Eddie Pepitone is not on the bill.
I know.
I failed to notice
all
of the harassing.
But and you know what? I had to go a little bit with people who have been.
Who have been
wangerly. It breaks my heart because there's so many people that. It's really hard. I mean, I have to say, thank you for being, I wish we could have done three shows. When people, you know, the people now in the production end are like, well, how long is it going to be? And I just keep saying too long. It'll be too long. That's what I know. It will be too long. I don't know how else to get around it.
Right, right. No, I hear you. And I'm used to that.
But
I'm not afraid to go to a sad place.
Perhaps you'll be with us. Maybe we'll be able to do the 26th anniversary show. And then you can be there. And it'll be you.
Maybe Let's the 50th anniversary, which would put me at 85.
I'd like to do a night this
year. It'd be funny.
You said you were going to give it to 85.
That's right. I'm giving show business to 85 to make it.
And
then I'm going to teach.
Gonna get her,
Then I'm going to teach if it doesn't
Why
happen.
Why wait?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I teach already. It's fun. You have so much to teach.
That's what we do on the podcast. We're teaching.
Yeah. I mean, you get to hang around young people.
Well, young people comprise my fucking audience.
Right.
I want to give everybody. Now, we didn't have any messages.
What?
Didn't do a podcast.
We didn't do a podcast
last
week.
Are people messaging on Facebook?
No,
Live?
They're supposed to. This is a call-in thingy. Oh,
we didn't get a call. I was out of town and he was sick. So we couldn't. Oh.
But I want to tell you guys, if you want to. Leave a message for the show. It's 424-262-0904. Leave a message for Pep Talks. They're usually pretty funny or pretty good. 424-262-0904.
It really makes our show better when you guys call in.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to hear the voicemails that there are none of this week. So that sounds like an amazing show. How much are tickets? A lot, I bet.
No, there's only balconies left.
Oh, it's almost all sold out?
Yeah.
Holy God.
Well, I mean, there's plenty in the balcony. So those are $29.
Right. Nice.
So.
$29 tickets to see Bamford, Odenkirk, Kindler, Scott Thompson, all these people. By the way, you mentioned Judy Chicago.
Yeah.
What was she famous for? Because I know that
name. She was famous for the dinner party.
What was that again?
It was like a dinner party, and each setting was a famous woman from history, and it had a plate designed for her. The whole place setting.
Oh, she was
designed.
She was a visual artist.
She was a visual artist.
It wasn't performing.
Well, there wasn't a performative aspect, no.
Oh, yeah. Okay, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. Everybody should Google it right now, and let's all go make comedy about it afterwards.
Beth, you're a trailblazer with your show. Aww. I mean, super trailblazer. Cool, man. I want to know where Eddie fits into all this, because I'm kind of fascinated. It's like
He's in the moment. He can't not. He's so authentically, totally in the moment.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's never. I mean, part of what Uncabaret is about is just the people who are so themselves. There's no mistaking Eddie Pepitone. I mean, there's just only one. There'll only ever be one. He's not like someone else. There's nothing like it because he's Eddie Pepitone.
Right.
And that was about breaking away from the guy in the tie who's sort of like, there's a million of them.
So what was happening like at the Hollywood Improv around that time?
Yes. Although there were brilliant people that came out of that. Dana Gould, one of my favorites.
I love Dana.
Dana was a big part of the early years.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. He was really did amazing work at Uncabaret.
Dana's a fun.
We did a crazy show together, Dana Gould and I.
Which one?
One day I'll have to tell you about that with Lily Tomlin. And
oh, wow.
Can I tell you about that?
Lily's come to the Uncab.
See?
Yeah. She's not been on stage
yet.
When
I first saw Lily Tomlin on television, she was one of my big inspirations for being a comedian.
Well, she really did inspire, I think, a generation of people who felt like you could say more, you could do more. She had that
she did
more-ness.
Character. She was more of kind of like in that genre of like performance artist.
But she just did more. It had a big idea to it, and it was striving the way you strive to get to more. You know, I'm just going to say the word more. People should understand that we're doing this very late in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I think we've
Is that not a good time to do it? Because what is it? It's like you feel tired from the day.
There's a low blood sugar.
You know,
is there even caffeine in that shit?
I don't know.
You need caffeine.
I don't know.
There is caffeine in it.
Yeah.
It's very addictive, Diet Coke. Very addictive.
I guess I don't drink it much, but there wasn't
any. Me neither. I don't drink it much either.
Coffee here, so I did the best I could. But you know what? So that's part of it. Who could be the people who are themselves? Oh, Margaret Cho, I don't think I mentioned, was part of the original group.
What about Hedberg? Did you ever get Hedberg?
No, I liked him and I loved him, but he was a little jokey.
Right.
You know?
It was one line.
Is that
a little.
Wrong? Yeah. And that just would not work with our crowd.
Right.
Because people wanted to be able to come back. We had a lot of repeat audience bringing friends. People wanted to see what happened after that.
So it was not a stand-up show.
Well, it was, but just a different kind of stand-up.
Hmm.
I mean, it's not different. And then eventually it was called alternative stand-up. I mean, it is somebody standing there trying to be funny. So it is stand-up.
It depended on who was on, because like I watched one of the shows I liked a lot when I was on at the Olak in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Was seeing Michael Patrick King.
Oh, my God. That night was great. That story was...
The creator of Sex and the City, Michael Patrick King, do this story about going to a spa in Northern California. And it was just a great... Like, the way he told it, I was just like... Like, you become... When someone tells a good story, you just become like a little kid going, then what happened?
Yeah. Well, and he had that was such a worked out story.
Oh,
he did some amazing stuff at I mean, he's very, very precise with his storytelling. That is not like off the
top. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. He really, and he did a lot of great work at Luna Park also.
Oh, he
was,
did.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the original, like, he wasn't there in the first few years, but about middle of Luna Park, mm-hmm. he was there. There's also, I mean, Moon Zappa has been in and out of the family and. Anyway.
Let me just read this last ad. And how long have we been on, Emma?
About 52 minutes.
So we're going to wrap it up in
Eddie,
a couple of minutes.
You're pretty good, Eddie.
Well, I have something called a watch.
You have a watch.
I'm not going blind.
Are they
blind.
Sponsoring you, your watch?
No, but this actually is a real sponsor. It's called Rider Duet, and we actually are supposed to get some money from them, and we haven't seen a dime.
I have.
Shit.
I got a check.
You did?
Yeah. $2.50.
$2?
Yeah, and 50 cents from Rider Duet.
Why?
Thank you, Rider Duet.
Why specifically to you and not to the show? That's interesting.
Because I actually use the software.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So Rider Duet is online writing software for screenplays and scripts.
Oh.
As many of you know, it is hard to collaborate on projects with people you may owe great sums of money to who are also incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
Rider Duet collaborative writing feature makes it easy to work on scripts with friends and colleagues from around the world. Anyone with an internet connection and enough ambition can reach out and connect with you. Start a new project with a friend today or help out a stranger with an exponentially dangerous yet seemingly endless series of perilous tasks. Experience the thrill of writing that comes from collaboration. Try to barter your way out of the dark and terrible corner of bad choices with film and television's premier writing software. Join Rider Duet for free and start your adventure. The link is in the description. So Rider Duet, please join Rider Duet. Beth, how can people reach you?
Uncabaret.com is one good way. Also on social at Uncabaret or at Beth Lapidus. And my website was hacked and we had to take it down, but it is
that right?
Skeletal and backup. Yes. And also they can call me, sure, if they want.
The hacking thing has become
I mean,
more
it was real.
We
had to take down Uncabaret.com and BethLapidus.com.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been getting hacky shit.
But I mean,
I don't deal with it. I'm just like, take what you want. That's all I type back to them. Take what you want.
But it wasn't that they were taking it. They were hacking to the point where my server was going
they
down.
They shut you down.
Yeah, they shut the server. The server kicked me off. I was like, well, didn't you have walls and protection? But they were like,
yeah, see, in Eddie's case, they're trying to leak information. It's like Eddie's like.
So that's how people can reach me.
Okay.
And also they could come to the show, of course.
And they could come
on November 18th, Theater at the Ace.
Balcony tickets
super
still available.
Cool. Where is it? November 18th, where?
Theater at the Ace Hotel, downtown Los Angeles on Broadway.
Maybe we'll
It's
go.
A historic, yeah. It is a historic Los Angeles. You should, even if you don't come see our show, which of course I hope you do, it's a historic, beautiful theater. You should see something in. It's worth just going for the theater.
Yeah.
And it's presented by CAP UCLA, which is a great organization. You should also that did nicely with my own little ad.
You're
space
a happening.
There.
You got some happening shit.
What does CAP stand for?
The Center for the Art of Performance,
okay.
Which is a UCLA thing. And they have a great season. David Sedaris, Fran Lebowitz, Bill T. Jones Dance Company. They're really a great cultural resource in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I used to go down to UCLA to see plys here and there.
At the Royce.
At the Royce.
Mr. Show did a great show at the Royce Hall.
Oh, they did?
A couple
of
years ago, yeah.
Yeah, me and my wife would go down and see a couple of plays. One that Jason Alexander directed.
Oh, at that, but not at Royce, in the Geffen Playhouse.
Oh, sometimes Geffen Playhouse, but I've seen Royce. Stevie, anything to promo?
If after you see her show on the 18th, come to San Diego, which you probably won't do, but
on the
I'll be at the 19th and 20th at the Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego.
Nice.
That's nice.
And then the 17th of November, I'm doing your friend Kimmy's show in Santa Barbara.
Very nice.
So if you're in Santa Barbara, I'll be there on the 17th. If you need to know where and when, my website is stephenlawley.com.
Where are you going to be, Eddie?
I am going to be... I'm going to be, and this is where I think most people want to be, I'm going to be in Fargo, North Dakota, October 19 and 20 at the Front Street Tap Room in Fargo. And then I'm going to be in Phoenix for the ATC Podcast Festival, and we're going to see if we can get Stevie there too. And that's it for now. Thank you so much, Beth.
Thank you so much, Eddie. Steve, it was great to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
So beautiful. And
you were a great guest.
Mm-hmm.
A great guest.
Was I? You're just saying that?
You could have. We could have her on a couple. I mean, you have a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of.
And you
this
can,
is a library
and
of
Beth
shit.
And Beth can spin. Like,
oh, yeah.
Beth can just.
She can roll, man.
She can roll.
Let's make it a thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you done a lot of podcasts?
Yes, but not a lot. I had my own, but it's a, but I couldn't keep it up.
They're
with
a pain in the
thing,
ass.
You know,
they're a pain in the ass.
I've done some.
You hear that? You're a pain in the ass.
I've done some. I've done some.
Okay. And also, if you want to buy any of my merchandise, eddiepepitone.com/shop. I have vinyl records of my, and they're very cool. I have vinyl records, and I never promote this, right? Is it the first time I've heard you talk about this? I never promote my shit.
This could be part of the problem.
You should get these to DJs. I always want to hear comedians.
That's hilarious.
In the middle of a...
If I was only a DJ also.
Right. Yeah, so it's eddiepepitone.com/shop. I have vinyl records of one of my specials called The Great Stillness, Bitter Buddha documentary DVDs, the documentary that was made about me by Steve Fine Arts, and other CDs. Another CD is called The Big Push, the first album I put out, which was is just characters instead of stand-up. I did things like a police officer addressing a press conference saying, the Novocaine Bandito has struck again. This is probably a dentist who enjoys making people numb. Anyway.
You can get away with saying, dude.
I love silly.
There's so much shit that Eddie says that's so much funnier because he's saying it.
Isn't that true? Yes, yes, that's the thing.
The Novocaine Bandito likes. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Beth. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Beth.